So Leviticus chapter 8, verses 1 to 13, the ordination of Aaron and his sons. The Lord said to Moses, "Bring Aaron and his sons, their garments, the anointing oil, the bull for the sin offering, the two rams, and the basket containing bread made without yeast, and gather the entire assembly at the entrance to the tent of meeting." Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the assembled gathering at the entrance of the church of meeting. Moses said to the assembly, "This is what the Lord has commanded to be done." Then Moses brought Aaron and his sons forward and washed them with water. He put the tunic on Aaron, tied the sash around him, clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod on him. He also fastened the ephod with a decorative waistband, which he tied around him. He placed the breastplate on him, and he put the Urim and Thummim in the breastplate. Then he placed the turban on Aaron's head and set the gold plate, the sacred emblem, on the front of it, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses took the anointing oil and poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. Then he brought Aaron's sons forward and put tunics on them, tied sashes round them, and fastened caps on them, as the Lord commanded Moses. Moses slaughtered the ram and took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Moses also brought Aaron's sons forward and put some of the blood on the lobes of their right ears, on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet. Then he splashed blood against the sides of the altar. Then Aaron lifted his hands towards the people and blessed them. And having sacrificed the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the fellowship offering, he stepped down. Moses and Aaron then went into the tent of meeting. When they came out, they blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Fire came out from the altar from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. Amen. Amen. Just thinking, that was very different to our when we were ordained. It's, yes, I don't remember blood putting on my ear or on my toe. But all of these things are highly symbolic, yes. And that's what Judith's going to lead us through just now.
I was just thinking, as the glory and the presence of the Lord fell this morning, I know there was great joy in here, but I knew that if any of you fell on the floor, we'd have to spend a little while picking you up. So thank you for not falling face downward, but just worshipping humbly in your hearts. So context, content, and I'm hoping as I do the content, you will know the contribution. Do you know what I mean? That you've already figured it out, but we'll see. Remember, Leviticus is in the middle of the Torah. And in other words, the five Old Testament books. And the Old Testament progressively is unfolding God's redemption plan of a Messiah and a great high priest who has come to fulfill the need for an innocent, holy sacrifice to enable all people to encounter the presence of a holy God. We're just part of this beginning bit of that story. And the Israelites, as you know, are in the wilderness. But think about it, and this picture hopefully represents that. Think about it. Do you remember where Moses met God before? Where was it? Out on the mountain. And God's like, "Hey, you guys, you've had the Ten Commandments, and I'm setting up a new system where I want to be in the very center of your lives. I want to be in the middle of your camp. However, to get into the middle of your camp, these are the processes that we need to go through so that not only Moses can encounter my presence and my glory, but everybody can as well." I think that's really exciting. So remember, and actually the theme of the SEBA conference was basically, you haven't come this far to only come this far. And so you can imagine the Israelites sort of thinking, okay, we've come this far, but we haven't just come this far to stay here. But for now, this is what we're creating. Remember this culture, this kingdom culture we are creating so that you can move on. You're not ready for the promised land yet, but we are creating a new kingdom, a new holy nation that will represent God to all the other nations. And remember, the goal of Leviticus is to show us how to worship a holy God through sacrifices and how the priesthood is designed to live in God's kingdom. Priests' lives are designed to glorify God and connect God with people. Hopefully already you're thinking, am I designed to do the same? Am I designed to glorify God? Am I designed to connect God with people? And what I want you to note, and it was read there, but if you keep reading chapters 8 to 10 of Leviticus, which we're looking at, you will discover that it keeps saying, and the Lord commanded Moses, and the Lord commanded Moses. God is instigating a divine institution, a divine role and responsibilities for his people. This is not something that the church has made up. This is not something that anyone else made up. God says, I want holy priests. This is what my kingdom is about, having holy priests. And what we discover here is Moses is handing over that role and responsibility to Aaron, this priestly role. No longer Moses is going to have this role. This is a separate role that Moses is handing over to Aaron and his sons to be that the people responsible for being that intermediary between God and his people. But they have to go through the same process as we have to go through, which has been, you know, chapters 1 to 7. They have to go through the same process as the others. So let's look at the content of chapters 8 to 10. And so remember, the point is, God has made this tent, but as yet, Moses and Aaron can't go in, neither can the people encounter God's presence. So at the moment, they're waiting with bated breath. Do you know what I mean? It's like, okay, the point of the priesthood is so that everybody can encounter God's presence and encounter his glory. If you remember anything from today, can you remember that this process is for all of us today and in those days? First of all, it requires repentance. I've not followed God's will and ways. I've not loved him with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind. I'm not perfect, and he knows that. You seek his forgiveness. You seek purification. You seek restoration. Just as we had the ball thrown backwards and forward, that's a daily thing, isn't it? Lord, I repent. I'm sorry. Please, can I receive your forgiveness, your purification? Lord, what have you got to give me to restore me to how you created me to be? We are to participate in this process. It's a relationship that we participate in. And I like the fact that God has set up all these things, all these sacrifices, because he's like, you're going to sin. This is not a surprise and a shock to God when I sin. It's not a surprise or a shock to him when you sin. He just realizes that we live in a fallen world, but he set up a process that sin, the consequence of sin, has no impact on us. That is quite phenomenal. The point is to keep throwing off our sins, remember, so that they do not entangle us in life. As much as some of you are going to be, or one of you in here and Roz, are going to celebrate your 80th decade. Remember, each decade I look back and say, oh my goodness, this is how the Lord has transformed me to be more Christ-like. And as soon as I've celebrated that, as I celebrate the next decade, I start looking at all the things he wants to deal with in this coming decade. But we do become more Christ-like. That's the goal. Aaron was chosen to be the great high priest, wasn't he? He was the high priest. But was Aaron sinless? Was that a requirement for him to be the high priest or to be a priest? Was he sinless? No, he'd made some really big clangers. Do you remember the biggest clanger he made is that we have in Scripture? Moses went up the mountain. Yeah, do you remember? Yeah, and they're like, well, Moses hasn't come down for a while. He was up there 3 months. And they're like, oh, who? And the people are like saying to Aaron, what can we do? And so Aaron says, well, we'll build a golden calf and we'll follow the calf, this idol. Do you know what I mean? And Moses comes down and he smashes the tablets, the, you know, Ten Commandments, and they start all over again. Aaron was not sinless. To be a priest, it's not that you are sinless. But it's you understanding this process that I talked about, that you come in repentance, you come offering yourselves as living sacrifices, you come seeking forgiveness, purification, and restoration. So this ordination of priests, and as I say, I hope you can already tell the contribution. But first of all, we notice that Moses dressed Aaron in certain garments. Special garments were to be worn. You discover even more detail in Exodus, but also in Leviticus. It tells us, and as David said earlier, all the symbolic meaning of these different garments that they wear. But the garments were designed that they represent the people before God. So, for example, the 12 stones, each with a different color, represents the different tribes. And so as Aaron goes in before God, he is representing the 12 tribes right on his front, on this breastplate. He's saying, I am bringing these tribes to you, into the Holy of Holies. I'm coming on their behalf to intercede and to hear what you have to say to us. It's not in this passage, but in Exodus, it says, for example, that the priests came in bare feet because it was holy ground that they were coming onto. And you might have known that Urim and Thurim, they are just things that they, that it's not clear, but Urim in Hebrew means light and Thurim means sort of, I would say, is truth. And the idea that these were two stones or two things that the priest used to discern yes or no. And it's something that you do today. I was thinking the same with whether you move or not. Do you know what I mean? Do we or not? You know, we work these things out and a decision is made. In the Old Testament, they used these. But in the New Testament, we have the counsel of the Holy Spirit. So thinking about it, hopefully you know the answer. They got to wear special clothes. Anointed with oil for consecration. Anointing with oil was a way to publicly show your dedication to God's service. Remember, oil often represented the Holy Spirit. And so the oil symbolized this consecration, meaning set apart, be different, be holy. Is that part of who we are? And then the next stage, there's, is the purification process. And like the people, Aaron and his sons made sacrifices so they could be forgiven and purified through the lifeblood of an innocent animal. The blood was not only sprinkled on the altar and around the base of the altar, but this time, as David pointed out, you get a bit of blood on your ear, which we didn't when we were ordained, a bit of blood on your right hand and a bit of blood on your toe. Yeah. And the idea is, why blood on the ear? Because remember that the priests are the intermediary to say, I'm going to hear from God and I'm going to obey what he tells me to do or say. Priests hear from God and obey what they do or say. In fact, the Greek word is epikouon, which has this idea that it stems from two words. It means you both hear and obey. They're not separate. You can't hear and not obey. Do you know what I mean? They are linked together. So priests are designed to hear and obey. Whatever the Lord calls and commands them to do for his glory and for his kingdom, they hear and obey. The right hand. If you've ever been to a country like Nepal or India, the first thing I was taught, because you, before they let you out on the streets, let you out, they give you some cultural practices, and maybe Ruth knows what it is, but they were basically never use your left hand to give money or give anything. They said, clasp your left hand to your right, and doesn't matter whether you're left-handed or right-handed, and always just offer with your right hand. Reason being, you eat with your right hand and you do something else with your left. Your left is not holy. It's not whatever. Yeah. This is your righteous right hand. You know what I mean? You're giving your best hand to God. So that's why it's a right hand. And basically it's saying, whatever you do, do it for God's glory. Whatever you do, do it to expand the kingdom. Now that phrase, whatever you do, maybe that's ringing bells for some of you. Thank you, some of you. Good. Anyway, then your right toe, which is wherever you go. Wherever you go, that ground will be consecrated because you are taking the will and ways of God. So they are obey, hear and obey. Whatever you do, wherever you go, carry God's glory, carry his will and his ways. And then finally, sacrifices were made. That process of sin, if you can remember this, it's about repentance, forgiveness, purification, restoration. Don't just go to God and lay down whatever you have before him. Wait and pick up what he has for you. He has a word. He has a picture. He has something for you. In exchange, he's a God of the instead. You give me that and I'm going to give you something far, far better. Chapter 10 tells us that there are sometimes serious consequences when you don't follow this process and try and come into God's presence. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, they had special privileges to be priests in God's house. No one else in Israel was given the responsibilities that those two had as Aaron's sons. But they didn't take seriously God's instructions, and God made an example of them. They lost their lives. When God is creating something new, he's trying to get across to the people how serious it is when we don't understand how to come into a holy God's presence. When he's creating something, saying, this is my culture. I'm trying to get this across to you because this culture is my kingdom culture. He made an example of them. I'm so grateful when I don't take it seriously enough, my sin, that that isn't the consequence today. But the consequence of sin is death. So ultimately, there is death as a consequence of sin, as opposed to life, if we go through that process of repentance, forgiveness, purification, and restoration. I hadn't linked this before, but do you remember what happened in the first church was being set up with Ananias and Sapphira? It's the same again, isn't it? I need this first sample church to be perfect. And when they lied, given opportunity to repent, opportunity to say, no, I've lied, I'm not giving my everything, the Lord again took both of them out and they died. Again, he's just trying to help us understand the seriousness of our sin. It causes death. Not necessarily immediately, but that is where ultimately our life leads, and we don't get the opportunity to live in that life now. So what happened once the newly ordained priests and the people had followed this process of repentance and asked for forgiveness, being purified? They were restored into a right relationship with God. This is the best bit so far in Leviticus. Because Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting, they were able to go in. When they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. Wow. That's the impact on us of encountering God's presence, his glory, having come to a state of repentance, forgiveness, purification, and restoration. So what's the contribution?
You see, God sets in motion in Leviticus the beginnings of the roles and responsibility of priests, knowing one day Jesus would be our high priest and we would be his priests on earth. Revelation 5:10, you have made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. 1 Peter 2:9-10, you also, like living stones, are being built into the spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Some of you have started saying, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Praise the Lord. You can now go out and start telling each other, I'm a holy priest. Hey, I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a special possession of God. And I'm part of his kingdom, a holy nation. This isn't, you know, and let's look at the ordination process. Have you gone through it? And if you have, you are a priest, a holy priest. And are we ordained in a similar way? Yes, we are. Do we have garments that we're given? We're given a robe of righteousness. We're given a breastplate of righteousness. We're given a helmet of salvation. We're given salvation. We're given clothes to wear. We're given garments that say we represent a holy God to the people out there. We have the armor of God. We have the armor of light. And in Colossians 3:12, it says, you are clothed in compassion. You're wearing it. You're clothed in kindness and humility, gentleness and patience. You have been given the clothes to wear to represent God to this world. Anointed with oil, you have received the Holy Spirit if you've gone through that process. Have you repented? Have you asked God for forgiveness? Have you said, I need to be purified, Lord. I'm so sorry for my sin. Have you been restored? And I think sometimes that open place of, I want to be baptized. I want the world to know that I have got rid of my sin. I've come up again. And I am now consecrated to be a priest. I am filled with his presence. And that's why we're a Baptist church, because we believe in that consecration, that place of being anointed by God's Holy Spirit. I found the pictures of your baptism the other day at Graham. Yeah. And it was so fun to see, because the expression on your face was just sheer joy, and of Fiona as well. And Martin found, do you remember you sent me some photos? You sent me some stuff from old drive from the church. And I was like, this is so exciting. Do you know what I mean? To see the expressions on people's faces as they are anointed and consecrated for God's work. You have been anointed for God's work. You're a priest, Graham. I saw it. I got photographic evidence. Okay. 2 Corinthians 1:21 to 22 says, and it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. There is the purification process. Peter preambles this passage where he talks about us being holy priests and a royal priesthood. He preambles it and he says to the people of God, get rid of these things. Get rid of all malice. Get rid of all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, all slander of every kind. In other words, get rid of these things, so that you can represent me to the people on earth, to represent a holy God, a good God, a God whose character is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And we're talking about a love that loves our enemies, not just those who are lovable. Jesus said, hey, I've given you, as priests, ears to hear the secrets and mysteries of the kingdom. Remember, we've done that before. He gives us, he consecrates our ears so we can hear for ourselves and obey. He says, whatever you do, your hands are ready, because your hands are now Christ's hands in the community. You are my body. And he says, wherever you go, carry that gospel of peace on your feet. We have ears attuned to hear and obey. Our hands are ready to do his will and our feet quick to walk in his ways without deviation. And finally, sacrifices. Well, we've done that over the last couple of weeks. Living sacrifices, daily offering ourselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice, our spiritual sacrifices of praise and worship and gratitude and good works. And as David talked about last week, that sacrifice of, which it is, of reconciling with one another, making sure we are right with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So some of you may be saying, hey, I've been ordained. Some of you might, hey, I haven't been baptized yet. Maybe that will be part of my ordination. Yeah. Maybe some of you are saying, actually, I've not gone through this process, or I've walked away from Jesus for a bit. I need to walk back towards him again into that center of the camp where God was there, but have him back at the center of my life. And do we as priests have the same purpose as priests and as the Levites? Yes, we do. And the thing is, Peter was writing to the Jewish church, so they already knew this. And so we don't find it in the New Testament. Unless you go back to the Old Testament, you don't know what the point of a priest is. And the point of the priest is, first of all, that we do intercessory prayer. We stand in the gap between God and this world. We pray on behalf of others by representing the needs of the church and the world of God, as we've done this morning, being an intermediary between the nation of God, just as priests were the intermediaries for the people in Leviticus. There's on the table there, that's the point of the World Day of Prayer, isn't it? That we come as intermediaries, as priests, as part of our natural roles and responsibilities to meet together as God's people to pray. And then we serve and we minister just as they did. Now, today, God gives some of us as ministers or priests the gifts of shepherding and teaching and preaching in order to equip the church to do its role. But has he given each one of you spiritual gifts? And those of you who have done the survey, you've discovered what your gifts are. So each one of us have been given the gifts to be the kind of priest to serve a minister with the gifts that we have been given. There is no hierarchy, as far as I'm concerned. That's the priesthood of all believers. I've been given the gifts of what I'm using today and each week. You've been given gifts as priests to use every day of the week. You know, I don't take my minister's cap off in the week, and neither do you. This is who we are. You are a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood, designed to minister and serve with the gifts God has given you. And remember that the point of the priests and the point of what the people did was so that everybody else knew that there's a holy, good God. And we are to do the same, to proclaim and witness. Peter talks about that as well, as witnesses and ambassadors sharing the gospel, declaring God's praise. And finally, number five, of what we are to do. We are to pray, to serve, to proclaim. And finally, we have direct access to God now. Isn't that amazing? Through our great high priest, we can hear what God is saying and we can choose to obey. We can hear God's message and spur one another on to love and good deeds as God encourages us to do so. Do you not think that, in short, as priests, we pray? We care, we share. As priests, that's who you are. That's what we do, in short. And in short, together we have prayed, making the commitment. And none of you were here when we did front lines. You have already committed to God for 2026 to say, whatever I do, wherever I go, whoever I am, in other words, what gifts I have, I will do it with others, not on my own, with others, to make all the difference in the world. I'm not asking you to be something you're not. I'm not asking you to be something you've not gifted and received. You are a priesthood who has roles and responsibility in this world, a priesthood who has gone through a similar ordination process. Let's pray. Father, I pray if there's anyone this morning that has just not got round to that repentance to say, sorry, Lord. I've not loved you with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind. Lord, I thank you that as we come and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. Maybe I haven't done what you've commanded us as a church to do, our raison d'etre, which is to go and make disciples. Lord, forgive us if we've not done that. But Lord, we come before you repentant, which doesn't surprise you. We come before you seeking your forgiveness. We come before you asking you to enable us to feel pure and holy. To not carry the weight and burden of sin. To know that this week that our burden is light and our yoke is easy because we're only doing your will and ways, nothing more. Forgive us for the false responsibility perhaps we've taken on board. Forgive us for perhaps not working together and trying to do it alone. And Lord, I thank you that you restore us this morning. And Lord, I pray that anyone who has not been restored to you that this morning, that they would encounter your presence as you restore them, that they would hear your word to them. They would receive what you have for them this morning. And Lord, I thank you that you went through the process of baptism, that consecration to be a holy priest, to be the great high priest. And Lord, we are to follow suit. So, Lord, we'd love to see baptisms in the church this year as people come and say, yeah, that's what I want. I want to be your representative to this world, the representative of good and holy God. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.